Parshas Chukas tells us of the story of where Aaron HaKohen died, and as we know, the schus of the mon was an Aaron HaKohen's schus, and later on we have here Klal Yisrael went from Hoir HaHor in Perik Chof Aleph Pasuk Dalet through the Yamsuf, went on Eretz Moav, Vaydabe Ha'om Ve'Elekim V'Moshe. And the Om spoke against HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu. Lomo heli sonim b'Mitzrayim. Why you take us out of Mitzrayim? Lomus b'midbar to die in the midbar. Ke'ein lechem ve'imayim v'nafshin ha'kotzim lechem ha'kleikel. There's no natural bread and water, and we're sick of this dangerous food that it gets digested in our body. We don't know how it's accumulating, according to most of the Mepharshim. Vayishalach Hashem v'Om Hashem sent within a nation Eis hanachoshim hasrofim. These dangerous fiery serpents, Vaynashru Sa'om, and it bit them, Vayomos Am Rav Misrol, and a great amount of Klal Yisrael died from these bites. Vayovay Om El Moshe, and the nation came to Moshe, Vayomru, and they said, Chotonu, we sinned, Kidabanu Ba Hashem Uboch. We spoke out against you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you, Hispalad El Hashem, Davon to Hashem, Vayose Molenu Es HaNochosh, and he should take away from us the Nochosh. Vayispalo Moshe ba'adom, and he davened. Okay. Vayoyim Hashem Moshe, asay lochol sorof, make a sorof, make a form of a sorof of a snake. V'sim oisoy al neis, and put it on a neis. Put it on a sim oisoy neis. Different shotim either means put it on a as a banner, or neis actually hang through a neis. Actually hang in mid air, and on neis. Vayase malenu es hanochosh, and the Nochosh should leave us. Vayispalo Moshe ba'adom, and Moshe davened for the Om. So again, we see that, anyone who will be bitten will see it and will live. V'yas Moshe nachash nachoshes, Moshe Rabbeinu made this nachosh out of nachoshes, out of copper. V'yisimeyu al hanes, he put it on this nes. V'hoyo im noshach hanachoshes, so ish, if somebody was bitten, v'hibit el nachash hanachoshes v'choyen, he lived. So the Chassam Sofer asks, very simply, Klal Yisrael did an Aveira. They spoke out harshly against the Kodesh Baruch, against Moshe Rabbeinu. And if you look in most of the Rishonim, they explain it to mean that there are actually two Aveiras over here. One Aveira was speaking out against the Kodesh Baruch Hu, one was speaking out against Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore there were two. There were Nechoshim and Seraphim. There are two different punishments they got. Those who spoke against Moshe Rabbeinu was by a Sorof, against HaKadosh Baruch Hu was a Nochosh, and there are really two things wrong over here. Look at the Sephorna, the Ramban, the Orachaim, yeah, they all bring this different pshat. But at the end of it, they regret it. And they say to Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayavahom and Moshe, and it came for Chotonu. We did wrong, we made a chait. We spoke against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, generally, after Moshe's tefillahs, everything works out. Vayispal Moshe Vada'om, Moshe daven for the nation. How many times have we had this? So Klal Yisrael have done something wrong, they've regretted it, and Moshe Rabbeinu has davened for them, and then everything works out. In this particular instance, we see that it was more than Moshe's tefillahs that were going to iron things out. Over here we needed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe to make this very unusual thing of having this form of a snake, and through this form of a snake people have to look at it, and through looking at it, that is how they are going to get saved. So the Mishnah said, everyone knows the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah, V'chi nochosh meimis nochosh machaya, does a nochosh kill, or does a nochosh give a person life? Elo, to the Mishnah says over there, loimaloch, to tell me that a Kodesh Baruch Hu, a person who concentrates on the real focus on the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's how he was saved. Okay, that's the Mishnah over there. But why do we need this unusual situation that we needed a Nochosh after that Klal Yisrael had already shown the regrets of Moshe had davened? So the Chassam Sofer says a very, very unusual pshat, and he says that Klal Yisrael were really sickened with himself. Klal Yisrael had sinned again and again and again. This is not the first time or the second time. They sinned many, many times, and they really wanted to get to the root of the issue. So they said to Moshe Rabbeinu, we've done an Aveira now. Help us with taking away the Oynish of this Aveira. Help us do tshuva for this Aveira. But more than anything, take away the Nochosh. take away the nachosh. Who's the nachosh? V'yasmina es hanachosh. Don't say hanachoshim. Es hanachosh. Take away the nachosh. What's the nachosh? The nachosh is a representation of chet. As we know, that chavo, the first chet that Klal Yisrael, that mankind did, was a chet of Adam HaRishon with a snake. So take away the nachosh. Take away the yetzahara. We've had enough. We don't want to do averus again and again. Take away the nachosh. Get rid of the yetzahara. Help us to destroy the yetzahara. And Moshe Rabbeinu davened to Kodesh Baruch Hu, and he said, listen, we're dealing here with people. We're dealing here with Klal Yisrael. Even a Dor Deah are bound to make mistakes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help us. Take away the yetzahara. So one would expect HaKadosh Baruch Hu to say, fine, let's take away the Yetzirah. Hashem said, no, I'm not going to take away the Yetzirah, but I'm going to show you how to deal with the Yetzirah. I'm going to show you how to destroy the Yetzirah, and you'll get schar by destroying it. What do you do? What you should do is take the Nachosh, take this symbol of Yetzirah, and focus on it. Focus on its weaknesses, focus on its strengths, focus on your weaknesses, focus on your strengths, and learn how to get around the power of the Yetzirah. Put this nachosh on a nes. Put this nachosh on a platform. Look at it. Concentrate on it. See its weaknesses. And by focusing on them, you'll be able to overpower it, and you'll get schar through that. So it was not just taking away the nachoshim. Yeah, the punishment of Klal Yisrael suffering by these fiery serpents that they'd done for that. That they could have done with by their regrets. But the tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu was to take away the Yetzirah, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, the Yetzirah I'm not going to remove from you. The Yetzirah I'm going to show you how to deal with, and you'll get schar, you'll get reward by overcoming the Yetzirah, which is much more beneficial for you. So how do we overcome this Yetzirah? What are its flaws? What are its weaknesses? Later on in the parasha, we have a posuk that is taken, according to the Gemara, taken out of the context of Pshat completely. And this pasuk is done in a way, you know, a lot of chassidish pshatim, which are very, very nice. Nice vetlach. Very nice vetlach. They're very nice pshatim. But it's very rare that a pasuk is taken out completely out of context from the Gemara and made into such a vetl. This is in the context of Perek Chof Aleph. We have the whole story of Klal Yisrael going towards Eretz Yisrael and his fights with Sichon and the Moiri and the story over there, and Klal Yisrael kill them, and etc. It goes on and on and on. And then the Pasuk says in Perek Chof Aleph, Pasuk Chof Vav, Ki Cheshbon is Sichon Melech HaMoiri hi. Yet Cheshbon is a city that belonged to Sichon, the king of HaMoiri. V'hu Nelcham Melech Moiv, and he fought with Moiv. V'yikach is called Artsoy Miyodei Ad Arnon. He took all his land to the Arnon. Al Kain Yoimru Hamoishlim. And therefore, Al Kain, and therefore, Yoimru Hamoishlim. Those Moishlim will say, who's a Moishlim referring to? Says Rashi. They're referring to the people who make Mesholim. Who the people make Mesholim? The powerful people make Mesholim. That's Bilam. Yeah? And Bo'oir. They both said, Bo'o Cheshboin. Let's go to Cheshboin. The place Cheshboin. Tibone Vesikoinein is Sichoin. And let's build up this city. Okay, that's Poshut B'Shat, says Rashi, referring to Bilam and Boy, let's go to Cheshbon. Okay, that is the Poshut B'Shat and the Pasuk. Comes along the Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Ayin, Ches on the base. Omar Rishmul Banachman, Omar B'Yechanon, my Dechseb, what does the Pasuk mean? Al Kain Yoimru HaMoishlim. And therefore the Moishlim will say, who are these Moishlim? Says the Gemara, HaMoishlim. Elu Hamoishlim Reitzrom. Those are the people who are Moishel, who are able to control their Yetzer. These are people who control the Yetzer. Dealing with Tzadikim. Boyu Cheshboin, says the Pasuk. What is Boyu Cheshboin? Let's go to Cheshboin. What does that mean? Boyu V'nachshoiv Cheshboin Shalom. Let us go along and calculate eternal Cheshboinus. Let's make an eternal calculation. Hefzed mitzvah keneged schar. If one loses a mitzvah, how much schar one misses? Uschar veira keneged efseda. And if one enjoys an aveira, how much loss one has? That is a cheshbon one should be making. Tibone vesikoinein, says the pasuk. Tibone, let us build this koinen. Im ato oisekein, if you make these cheshbonos, Tibone b'olam hazeh, you'll build yourself up in this world. V'sikonein la'olam habo, and you will be prepared in the world to come. Okay? This is the part that the Gemara carries on. Now, Rabbi Yisai, it's a gewaldig pshat, it's beautiful, but it's very rare that the Gemara takes a posuk and completely changes its posuk pshat and makes droshes like this. It's very rare. The Kotzka does it. Yeah, the Beis Yisrael does it. But to take a posuk from the Gemara and to make this kind of drosha is very, very unusual. Not only that, it seems to be al-kain, and therefore it seems to be based on a story that happened, that in the middle of the Torah, in Parshas Chukas, we start talking about Cheshbon Nefesh. Why is this important lesson of Cheshbon Nefesh brought in smack in the middle of Chukas? What's the idea behind that? Make this Cheshbon Nefesh, talk about Averus, talk about mitzvahs, prepare for the world to come. What connection does it have with the previous psukim that just over here we start talking about Cheshbon Nefesh? So I'm sure you've had this question. Davening on Shabbos. Yeah, on Seder night, davening on Shabbos, we say, Hoyd Hashem Ketoy Kilim Chazoy, Yemenoy Sol Kilim Chazoy, say all the Kilim Chazoy, which is known as the Halal HaGadol. Right? There are two psukim over there that are that require investigation. One posuk says, talking about the Melchoma of Sichoin and Oig, right? The posuk says, V'nosan Altson Renachlo, talking about the different Nisim HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, V'nosan Altson Renachlo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave their eretz, their land, as a nachla, as an inheritance. Nachla li Yisrael avdoi. A nachla, an inheritance to the Yisrael, the nation. Now, why is the posuk, why is the psukim in Tehillim, it's a Tehillim, why is David HaMelech splitting it up? It should say very simply, V'nosan altson nachla, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took over the lands of Sichon and Oig, V'nosan altson nachla li Yisrael amoi, and he took over the land and gave it to Israel, his nation. Why split it up? The Nosan out on the Nachlo, he gave the land as a Nachlo. A Nachlo, Kilo Elam Chazdoi. Nachlo, a Nachlo to Israel, Amoy to Israel, his nation. Why is it split up into two psukim? I'm sure you come across this kasha. So there's a very beautiful siddur called Siddur in Tefillah, which is written by the Ksav Kabbalah ala Torah. And he says like this. He says, the Gemara says, that Amoin Umoyov Tiharu B'Sichoin. Amoin Umoyov Tiharu B'Sichoin. They got purified through Sichoin. Who was Sichoin? Sichoin was Melech HaMoiri, a mighty king of HaMoiri. Now, what happened? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave protection to Amoin Umoyov. Who are Amoin Umoyov? Amoin Umoyov were our cousins. Yeah? Amoin Umoyov were our cousins. They were the children of Lot. And basically, Lot had a relationship with his own daughter and his two daughters, and for one daughter Amon was born, and from the other daughter Moav was born. Amon and Moav came, and we have to protect them because really Rus came from Moav. We have to look after Rus, and there were, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Klal Yisrael, you may not make Melchama with them. One of them you can antagonize, one of them you can't antagonize, but you cannot make Melchama. Okay, fine. So Klal Yisrael really have a problem. You can't make Melchama, but we want the land. So what happened? So the Pasuk says, Sichoin, Melech HaMoiri, Sichoin, was the king of Moiri, made a war with Amon and Moav. And when he made war with Amon and Moav, he won over Amon and Moav. So now these lands are not belonging to Amon and Moav anymore. They're belonging to Sichoin. Now, Klal Yisrael have no problem fighting with HaMoiri. No problem with fighting Sichoin, the king of HaMoiri. Doesn't say any kind of prevention, that they have no protection, we can go along and destroy Amoiri. So now that Amoiri have taken over Amon Amoyov, we can go along now and fight the Amoiri and take back Amon Amoyov. So Amon Amoyov tiharu besichoy. Amon Amoyov sort of became tohoir, which means it came purified for us to go along and fight them through Sichoy waging war against Amon Amoyov. Okay? So he explains, if so, that's Peshat in the Pesukim over here in Hoidu. Number one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kilo Ilam Chazdoi, Oz Notsan Artsom Lenachlo. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave their lands, who's their lands? Amon and Moyov, as a Nachlo to Sichoi. because otherwise he couldn't go and fight them. Says the next pasuk, because of that, Nachlal Yisrael Avdoi, then the Klal Yisrael could go along and fight Sichoi Melech HaMoiri and take the land for themselves. Kilo Ilam Chasa, thank you, Kodesh Baruch Hu. Because if he would not take away from Ammon and Moab, if Sichon did not fight them, then we would be stuck, we could not take away the lands. So there's two things. Nosan Artsom le Nachlo, not talking about Nachlo to Klal Yisrael, talking about Nachlo to Sichon. And then we went along and fought with Sichon. Nachlo, Yisrael Avdoi, we took that Nachlo that Sichon has, that includes as well Ammon and Moab, and gave it to Yisrael Avdoi, to Yisrael his nation, Kilo Ilam Chasa. Now, Al Kain Yoimru Hamoishim, says the Pasuk. And therefore, looking at this story of what happened with Ammon and Moab, with Sichon conquering them, Al Kain Yoimru Hamoishim, the Pasuk is forced to tell us, from here we learn how important it is to make Cheshbon Nefesh. How important it is to take the Poshup Shat in the Pasuk and tell us, this Pasuk shows me from this incredible story how careful one has to be to ensure that one makes Cheshbon Nefesh. Why? What's the deal behind this? So Reb Chaim Kaufman says like this. A lot of my poshers say this. He says like this. He said, imagine what Sichon were feeling when they won over Ammon and Moab. Ammon and Moab were major parts of a powerful nation. And Sichon goes in and wins over them. He comes back feeling victorious. He comes back being the hero. He has gone to war against two nations, Ammon and Moab, destroyed them, pulverized them, knocked them out. Ah, look at me, Sichon. And Moiri now have extended land, Ammon and Moab. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sitting in Shemayim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinking, saying, you idiot, you complete fool. Do you know why I gave you Ammon and Moab? Not because I want you to become the victorious king, because I want you to get over that land, that very soon Klal Yisrael can fight against you and take back everything. So don't, you're not such a kanaka at all. You got a very small, short-lived gain, because in my master plan, I want a much bigger plan to fall into place. And therefore, this is all part of a cheshbon. This is all a cheshbon by me, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that you should win over Ammon and Moab for a very short period of time, that I can go along and knock you out and take back Ammon and Moab for Klal Yisrael, which I could not do before. Now this is Cheshbon Nefesh. Cheshbon Nefesh is to make a calculation that sometimes a short-term pleasure, a short-lived victory, is not going to help you in the long term. Just like the short-term victory that Sichon had, Sichon Melech HaMoiri had over Ammon and Moab, did not help in long term, so too, the victory one has sometimes by having a short-lived pleasure is ridiculous if you take into effect the long term. That's Al Kein Yoimru Hamoishim. And the Chofetz Chaim is a brilliant, brilliant moshel. He says, the moshel he brought down in various different places. He says, he used to go to places and people would say, Rebbe, I'd love to keep Shabbos. I'd love to keep Shabbos. But how can I close my shop on Shabbos? Shabbos is the day I make money. And if I close my shop on Shabbos, I'm going to lose money. So the Chofetz Chaim used to tell him a moshel. He said, there's once a farmer who dealt in grain. He had big fields and dealt with grain. And the merchants would come from the town. And they'd come into town and buy the grain from the sacks of grain from this farmer. One day, a very wealthy merchant came in and he wanted to buy a huge amount of sacks of grain from this farmer. So what they did was like this. The merchant said, every time you put up a sack of grain onto the wagon, I'll put down a penny. A very small coin, I put down a penny. Sack goes on the wagon, a penny. Another sack, another penny. Another sack, another penny. Then we can see at the end of it, instead of standing on top of the wagon and counting the sacks, it's difficult to count, we'll count all the pennies and we'll see by the pennies how much I owe you, and I'll pay you accordingly the full amount. So fine, no problem at all, fantastic. And a sack goes on, a penny, another sack, another penny, and this pile of pennies is piling up. This farmer looks greedily at this pile of pennies and thinks to himself, next time this guy turns around, I'll do a quick one. I'll take a whole bunch of these pennies and put them in my pocket. And he won't even know. I'll take these pennies and put them in my pocket. He'll never know that I took these pennies. And he does it. The guy turns around for a minute, and he puts his hand in a handful of pennies and stuffs the pennies in one pocket, the other handful in another pocket. And he's really happy that now he's got his pennies in his pocket. The guy never knows. The guy looks around, and Tucker doesn't notice. End of it, you count the pennies. How many pennies are there? There's only a third of the pennies that there were at the beginning. And he pays him, and he goes home, and he's so happy with the gain that he stole pennies from this person without knowing. So the Chofetz Chaim, what an idiot, what a foolish person. Keep the pennies there and you get so much more. Shabbos is Makor HaBracha. So you're going to steal the pennies on Shabbos. Haha, Kodesh Baruch Hu, I'm going to keep my shop open and steal the pennies. You're taking away your whole Hatzacha the whole week. The whole Hatzacha the whole week comes from Shabbos. Sometimes small little victories of small term gains knocks one out in the long term. That is learned from Sichai. There's an incredible moshel. It's a very, very sharp moshel. And it's brought down in the Kadmoinim. There's a sefer called the Ben HaMelech VaHaNozir. And it's a very, very sharp moshel. Probably one of the most sharpest mosholim I've ever heard. And the Kadmoinim bring the following story. A dog likes to bite on a bone. A dog enjoys a bone. He takes a bone, you give a dog a nice juicy bone, and he bites and he chews on it, and he gets a taste out. A dog likes a bone. There's this dog, an older dog, who sees a bone, and he wants to chew on it, so he chews on it. Nothing coming out. Dry bone. Nothing. And he chews, and he chews, and he chews, and he chews. Nothing coming out. And he carries on. He's not letting go. And all of a sudden, yegata umetzosa taimin. Juice. Delicious juice starts coming out of the bone. What he doesn't realize is that he's chewed so much that he's broken his tooth. And blood is coming out of his gums. And the juice that he thinks is coming from the bone is coming from his own gums. And he starts tasting the juice and he starts biting it more and more. Oh! And the more he bites, the more blood comes out. And he's going crazy and he's loving this blood. And until he drops dead. He's eating himself up alive. So this is a kliach of chet in this world. People go for the short-term gain, and they bite and they bite and they get the taiva and the taiva, and they're enjoying it, and it's eating themselves up. They're destroying their life in this world and the next world. That is a short-term gain over a long-term loss. That is cheshbon. Cheshbon is an understanding of maturity, letting go of the short-term gain for the future. You know, even they say today in the world of drugs. Now certain drugs, there are certain party drugs that take a few hours to kick in. And those drugs give a person a high which is incredible high. Today's generation do not go for those drugs because they want to go for immediate high. And even though that high in the future is going to take a long time and it's going to be a lot greater, they prefer to go for the immediate high, which isn't so great. They're waiting a little bit of time for the long-term high. This is maturity. I'm not talking about drugs, but I'm talking about in cheshbon nefesh. Cheshbon nefesh is leaving go of the short-term gain for the long-term gain. That is sichui. Sichui was so delighted. Oh, I won. Fine, it's short-term, but I'm just telling you, it's going to be taken away from you to give in the Klal Yisrael. It's going to be nachlis v'alama. It's all going to be given away. That is one al ken yom emotion. That is learned from this pasuk. Rabbeinu Yonason gives another explanation. One of our places gives another explanation. He says, Cheshbon was a very small border city. Cheshbon was a small border city that Moav wasn't particularly interested in. And they didn't see it worthwhile investing in manpower, did not see it worthwhile in protecting it in a way that's going to take the soldiers from the rest of the country. They'll protect the really important cities. But this little hick town on the border, it's not very chosh of a town, we'll leave it alone. Cheshbon was exactly where Sichon entered, and they got into Moav in that Cheshbon, in that city called Cheshbon, and destroyed the entire Moav by pouring in troops into his weak spot. Says Rabbeinu Yonason that this Al Kain Yomru HaMoishlin Bo Cheshbon. Therefore, those people who are Moishlim, those people who want to make Cheshbon Nefesh, should learn from what happened in the city called Cheshbon. that never, ever should one neglect the small details of Yiddishkeit. If a person neglects the minhagim, the person neglects the derabbanans, the person neglects the small mitzvahs, what a person considers a small mitzvah in the Torah, then he allows the Yetzirah to get in by the small mitzvahs, and the Yetzirah is now in, and he'll slowly, slowly conquer the entire body. He'll conquer you from beginning to end. He'll destroy everything. That is what we learn from Cheshbon. Cheshbon is an example of where we have to protect even the smallest, what we consider not such important mitzvahs, to make sure that we keep strong all the way through. The smug is a very, very interesting hakdoma. The smug brings a very interesting hakdoma, and he says that this. I have to see inside. He says that the malachim were created very early on in the Briyas HaOlam. On Thursday, the animals were created. Now, the difference between a malach and an animal, and a malach is kulei ruchni, what you'd call kulei sichli, no taiva, he doesn't have any animalistic desire, he is totally focused on the correct path of intellect. And on Thursday, an animal is totally desire, it's totally instinct. Yeah, it doesn't have any seichel, it's totally behamas. On Friday, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to give man an option to be like a malach if he focuses on his seichel, and a behema if he focuses on his behamias, on his taiva. And a man can become a malach, or man can become a behema due to his choice. Says a Chofetz Chaim another moshel. He said there's once a wagon driver who offered a lift to a man who had very expensive wares. And the man said, I'm willing to pay you a lot more money to make sure that you bring me safely to the destination. But I ask you please to be extra vigilant. Make sure very, very carefully that you go on the path. I've got extremely expensive silks over here. If these silks get damaged, I've lost a huge amount of money. Do me a favor, I'm willing to pay you more, but just focus and concentrate on looking after the horses that are going in the middle of the road. I'm not going to get stuck, there's not going to be any trouble. Please. Fine. Okay, no problem. He takes some money, they get on, they load up all the silks. The merchant sits at the back, the wagon driver in the front, and they start traveling. After a while, this wagon driver starts falling asleep. He had a heavy meal, starts falling asleep, and the merchant in the back can't see what's going on, and the horse veers off the road, and he sees over there some very tasty flowers, and he grows across the road, and he falls into a trench, and the whole wagon turns upside down, and the horse has broken his legs, and he's upside down, and this merchant comes out, and he sees his silks lying in the mud, filthy, destroyed, dirty, and he starts yelling at the driver, "You idiot, what happened? What happened? I asked you, please, I paid you more, what happened? What's going on over here?" So the man said, "I don't understand myself. I cannot understand what happened. I have a very intelligent horse. And I saw the first part of the journey that he was really sticking to the road. I trusted him. He's a very intelligent horse. And therefore what happened later on, that suddenly he must have, I don't know what happened to him. He saw some flowers and he went off and I fell asleep. I trusted him." So the man said, "You idiot, there's no such thing as an intelligent horse. A horse is a behemoth. And behemoths like flowers. You cannot trust a behemoth. And therefore, just because it's been wonderful till now, he can be terrible a minute later. You cannot trust it." So the Chofetz Chaim, how can a person trust himself? Inside every person is an animalistic desire. And he can't say, "I've been okay till now, I'm okay now." You can't fall asleep on the wheel. You can't rest for a moment. A person's got to remain b'cheshbon. A person's got to remain focused on making cheshbonis, because there's this animal over here that sees flowers at the side of the street and will veer off and destroy everything just to fulfill a small taiva. That's boya cheshbon. That is how careful a person has to be constantly to make cheshbonis. There's so much more to say, but there is over here a pshat of the Netziv. And the Netziv really gives a whole new dimension of making cheshbon. So till now we've learned cheshbon is our understanding that one has to calculate not right now, what is my desire right now? That's childlike. That's ignorant. A child will eat all the jelly beans from the bowl, and he'll eat more and more and more until he vomits. An adult knows I have a few, because if I eat too much, I'm going to be sick. I'm going to vomit. A child doesn't see the long term. He just sees the short term. Cheshbon is understanding, to see the long term plan, to understand that if you don't look at the long term plan, you're going to lose out. That's the cheshbon. The other part of the cheshbon is to make sure, to ensure that chas v'shalom, a person doesn't allow the yesod to get in on the small details, on the minhogim, on the drabonons. Make sure you stay focused. Don't allow the enemy in into this little hick town called cheshbon. Make sure you stay focused. Also, we learned the person got to stay focused the whole time. That there's an animal inside one, the chalila, that can veer one off the path. But the Netziv in Hamak Dova says something very beautiful. He asks a few questions. And one of the cheshbons really is, the Gemara says, Boy v'nachshoiv cheshbonoi shal oilam. Yeah? Let's make a cheshbon of oilam. Now, this seems a little bit strange. Cheshbonoi shal oilam, he doesn't ask us, but I ask us. Cheshbonoi shal oilam means, let's ask a worldly question. Yeah? It's not really a worldly question. You're asking a cheshbonoi shal osid, a cheshbonoi of nitzchias. Cheshbonoi shal oilam seems to be like a cheshbon of this world. Cheshbonoi shal oilam. The wording doesn't seem to be so appropriate, number one. Number two, he says that who are we telling to do cheshbon nefesh to? Elu ha-moishlim be-yitzram. Those people who control their yetzer make cheshbon nefesh. What's a cheshbon nefesh? The cheshbon nefesh is, if I do a mitzvah, I gain. If I do an aveira, I lose. People who control the yetzer hara are not focused on loss and gain. They are focused on Yerushalayim. They're focused on avas Hashem. What, a mitzvah here and I'm going to gain, and there I'm going to lose? That is not dealing here with people who are moishlim b'yitzram. You're not dealing here with people who are controlling the yetzer hara. How many people are called moishlim b'yitzram, controlling the yetzer hara, and they're thinking this little kind of cheshbonos, if I do a mitzvah, how much will I gain, how much will I lose? That is for the lower kind of people who are not moishlim b'yitzram. So how's the Mishnah, how's the Gemara say that people who are moishlim b'yitzram make a cheshbon of, if I do this mitzvah, how much do I gain? If I do this aveira, how much do I lose? It doesn't seem to make sense. And if you are making a cheshbon, says the Netziv, the cheshbon that a person has in this world of who are moishlim b'yitzram, is it kedai to do a aveira in this world for the schar olam haba? If a person is doing an aveira, he doesn't see olam haba. It's ruach shtus. He just sees olam hazeh. So it's very difficult to make this cheshbonos. Look over there, he brings a few other questions. They're very, very fascinating. So listen to what he says. This is unbelievable. This is unbelievable. So he says, and this comes from the Netziv. The Netziv is Rashiva Volozhin, an incredible, incredible man who closed down the Volozhin Yeshiva. He closed down the Volozhin Yeshiva. Did you know that? He was a Rashiva Volozhin. And the Russians came in and they wanted to teach a few hours a day choil. And he said, no. I'm not allowing you to do that. So he said, if you don't allow us to do that, what's going to be? So close the yeshiva. He closed the Volozhin yeshiva. The yeshiva, the flagship yeshiva of what we know of the Volozhin, was closed down. And what happened? Do we suffer? Have the yeshiva suffered? No. The many, many more yeshivas started because of that. These are cheshbon. Listen to his cheshbon. Listen to how he says this. He says, Eino ha-moishrim b'yitzom. The Gemara is not talking about a person who is making a cheshbon in olam haba. We're not dealing a person who's making a cheshbon. Should I do an aveira? Should I do a mitzvah? Is it worthwhile doing this aveira? Is it worthwhile doing this mitzvah? You know what? Let's think about long term. Let's think about short term. That's one pshat. He said, but it's not pshat what the Gemara is talking about. He said, what the Gemara is talking about is hamoishim beyitzra, means people who have passed that stage, who are bnei olam haba, who are absolutely focused in what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants and will never deviate from the path. Moishlim b'yitzron, they've completely controlled the Yetzer Hara. So what cheshbonos do they have? The cheshbonos that they have is on a much higher level. Sometimes it's worthwhile for them to do something that is questionable. It's sometimes worthwhile for them to do something that would ultimately, in regular cases, be an aveira. For them, it could be a mitzvah. Machlokes is a terrible thing. Last week's parasha, Parshas Korach, a terrible thing. But it's sometimes worthwhile to go along and make machlekas and to stand up against a person or community or against huge communities and against cities because of an ideal. And it's kedai to make an avera, the avera, as it were, of machlekas, and to make terrible disunity for the sake of focusing on Ratzon Hashem. Al kein yomer hamoshlim, those people who are really moshel beyitzrom, and a chas v'chalila, not making wrong cheshbonus for themselves, if these people were not totally l'shem shemayim and they make averus, of course they're going to be punished. But these people are talking about making cheshbonus shel olam, which means, is it worth my while, even after understanding now that I could be doing the right thing, al pi the cheshbon of a kodesh baruch hu, is it worthwhile in the end of the day? Will I gain by it? Will I be successful? Al kein yomer hamoshlim, these people should make a moshel of cheshbonu shel olam, which means in this world, with all our physical limitations, with the strengths that I have, with my power of influence, will it be worthwhile to take on head on this particular person, this particular society? Will I be successful? Making a big campaign against Chil Shabbos. There are certain times where the Gedolei Olam fought against Chil Shabbos. Yeah? For example, they fought against Chil Shabbos on El Al plains. And they made boycotts, and El Al backed down. They backed down, they were successful. There are certain times where they didn't stand up against Chil Shabbos in this country. Not because it's any less important, but they just made Cheshbon Shel Olam. They just made a Cheshbon of, it's poshut, we won't be successful. Of course we should make this machlekas, and it'll be the shame shemayim, but we just won't win. And therefore, the amount of losses that we'll have along the way, and losing by it, will be much more of a chil Hashem long term. That's what the Gemara is saying. Al kein yomer hamoshlim, the people who are moshel beyitzrom, and know exactly what is Ratzon Hashem, and they're doing it for the correct purpose, Boyu cheshboin, which means boyu nachshu cheshboin shel olam. Go and look in this world with our limitations and our strengths. Is it worthwhile in the olam hazeh where we are? Will we win the fight? Hefsed mitzvah keneged schara. A hefsed mitzvah, which means sometimes to lose a mitzvah of standing for Kodesh Baruch Hu, keneged schara. How much schar will we get sometimes by being quiet, taka not standing up because it'll be chil Hashem? And schar avera keneged hefsed, the schar of avera lishma, that sometimes making a machlekus, which is avera lishma, keneged hefsed, how much will I lose at the end of the day? Now, Rabbis, what does this mean for us? Sometimes there are certain cases where we would be correct to stand up. There are certain times when people abuse us, and people upset us, and people insult us, and it's correct. You have a right to react. You have a right to step up and say, it's wrong what you're doing, you have no right to treat me that way. But make cheshbonu shel olam. Think about it carefully. What will you gain? It's not fair to stand up for yourself. But will you really win at the end of it? Will you really be successful? Sometimes, yeah, it is a mitzvah, but sometimes the loss, chas v'chalila, the action and the reaction and the action and reaction can destroy you and you don't win anything. Make cheshbon before you react. Think about what could happen. Think about the results. Think long term. That is maturity. Al kein yomer hamoshlim boyu cheshbon. The people who are thinking about the future, think people who are thinking about life as an adult, will make cheshbonus. First of all, is it worthwhile? The long term gain over the short term little battle that I win now. Also, am I allowing the Yitzhar to creep in on my small mitzvahs that I don't take seriously? Should I strengthen those border mitzvahs not to allow the Yitzhar to come in? Am I being careful constantly to look at the behemoths inside me? And even if I am doing the right thing, and even if it is the right thing to stand up for myself, will you really gain? Maybe just turn around, maybe just walk away. Maybe that's the right thing to do. That is a cheshbon as a person does. And if a person does that, tikone v'sibone le'olam. A person will live better in this world and will certainly live better in the next. Sure.